The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That is very good. Thank you, kids. We have five different choirs, and of course, we have a primary choir, we have a junior choir, we have a teen choir, we have an adult choir, and then we have a bus ministry choir. And you got to hear our bus ministry choir last week, along with, of course, our teenagers have recently sung in the auditorium, and of course, the adults always, always doing a great job, and appreciate all. Don't miss tonight now, I'm telling you, don't miss tonight. Tonight is going to be absolutely fabulous. If you don't come tonight, you're going to sit there and you're going to say, man, I think I just need to sit here and cry all by myself, you know, because I didn't go. And so you try and come. Will you do it? Here it is, James chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, and I'll read it for reiteration's sake. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. Says neither shadow of turning. You know, I got to thinking about what is the question that is probably asked more during Christmas time than any other question that's asked. And it's probably this question, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Teenagers and children are asking their parents, what do you want for Christmas? The parents are asking their kids, what do you want for Christmas? Those that are dating, what do you want for Christmas? Those that are newlyweds, what do you want, as one spouse would ask another for Christmas? Those that's been married 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 102, asking each other, what do you want for Christmas? So I like to speak this morning on gifts I want to open for Christmas. Many times my children will ask me, and my dear wife will ask me, the children will say, Dad, what do you want? Or my wife will say, Mike, what do you want for Christmas? And we find ourselves going roundabout inside of the house, or roundabout inside of maybe even going shopping, and we ask that question over and over again, what do you want for Christmas? So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I think that'd be a good message on gifts that I want to open for Christmas. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 22. And verse 23. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, if I could think of some things that I'd really like to open for Christmas, it would be able to take these gifts that God has given me and be able to open them up to the fullest. And that way I would be able to do all that God would have me to do in my individual life. Let me have the first young man to come up and help me. And so let's take the gift this morning of that which is love. All right? And so here's a gift that God has given us, that gift that is called love. Well, the Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 4 through 8, where the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, hopeth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so here we see that God talks about that which is love. Now, what is love? Love is a deposit of the heart whereby now you're favorably thinking about someone. All right? And so it is where you're favorably thinking about someone so much that charity comes into play, and charity is love in action. All right? And so I'm thinking about someone that I love deeply. It might be a friend. It might be somebody that is is you're married to, it might be your children or whatever the case, and so you love them deeply to the point and to the place that it provokes you to do something. Now, can I tell you this morning? I really do want to love God more. I tell you, in that gift that I open up, I really do want God to use me to love others more. I think that's a pretty good Christmas gift to be able to open up during the Christmas season, just to be able to reach up and say, God, I love you, but this year, I want to learn to love you more. Just to be able to reach out and say, God, I want you to be able to use me as a vehicle, as a vessel to be able to love people more through me. All right? But not only that, notice this one. This had the second fellow to come. Notice this, as you see in your Bible, over in 1 John chapter 3, or 1 John, here you go, Jonathan, you can do that for me. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3, here's what it says. The Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that also we have fellowship. We have fellowship, it talks about, how ye have fellowship with us, and we truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to it in verse 4, 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says, and these things write out unto you that your joy may be full. All right, so God says, I want you to have joy. Now, wait a minute. How is it that we have joy? Here's how we have joy. We have joy learning to fellowship with Him and learning to fellowship with other believers. That's how the Bible, in this particular passage of Scripture, talks about how to have joy that is full. So what do? You find somebody that's a believer, and you intentionally get involved in their life for the sake of fellowship. Oh, but even before that, what do? I intentionally get involved with my Heavenly Father so that I can have fellowship with Him. All right, now wait a minute. So what am I doing? Here's what I'm doing. I'm wanting to fellowship with Him first, and then because I learn how to fellowship properly, then I can fellowship with other people. All right, that's a pretty good Christmas gift to be able to open up so that I can take and be able to have the joy, because the fellowship produces a joy. There's a man that got off of a boat coming from a different country, getting ready to go through Ellis Island. As he arrived in New York City, he found himself all alone. As he found himself all alone, he heard that there was some birds called canaries. And he thought about these birds. And somebody said, the canaries will bring joy to you because they always sing. So he thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm lonely. I've arrived here from another country. I'm all by myself. I'm destitute. I just don't have any friends whatsoever. And so I heard about these canary birds. I'm going to go buy me a canary. And so he went into the store, an animal store, a pet store, and he said, I want to buy one canary. The man said, it's better to buy them in two. He said, well, why? He said, because a canary can find themselves very alone, but if you buy two, they're always in good company, and when they're in good company, they sing more. Now, by the way, and so he bought two. I took them back to the apartment. He said he couldn't understand. They weren't singing. I mean, he just listened, and they wouldn't sing. Then all of a sudden, it got dark outside, and it seemed like the darker the night, the more they sang. Now, can I tell you, for the believer, for you and I that believe in Christ, for you and I that have truly been saved, for you and I that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He is going to help us to be able to love Him more and to be able to love others through us, but also there's going to be a joy that when you fellowship with Him, when you fellowship with other people, that is irreplaceable. You can get around somebody, and by the way, it's hard to fellowship by yourself. It is good to fellowship with someone. And can I tell you, the Bible does say, he that have friends must show himself friendly. So as I stand up, so as I enter into Brother Butler's presence, let's say we're sitting in church together. He can sit there in his pew, I can sit here in my pew, never talk. He can sit in front of me, I can sit behind him, never talk. You know, I know you won't believe this, but we have people, no doubt, maybe even some in this church, But we have people that live in the United States of America. I know this is going to shock you. But we have people that live in the United States of America that has never said hi to their neighbors. That's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, we have people that live in the United States of America don't even know who their neighbors are. Isn't that shocking? I'm going to give you something more shocking. We have people that's in our church that somebody will sit beside them and they just totally ignore them. I know that's a shock. I know it's a shock. Yeah, that's how come we instituted one thing a couple years ago, I guess about 2 years ago, the handshaking time. You know why we do the handshaking time? We do the handshaking time to loosen you up so that you can be friendly to people. You know why we want our church to be friendly? Because people like to come back to a friendly church. Yeah, they do. Who wants to go to a stuck-up church? Who wants to go to a church when you go up to shake somebody's hand, it looks like you're invading in my private space? By the way, did you know our church has a safe space? Did you know that? Yeah. We cut down 3 trees out here. We planted grass. That way, if somebody offends you, you can go out to your safe space and stand there in the middle of the grass. Now, I'm going to tell you, the squirrels are going to come try and shake your hand. But isn't society crazy nowadays? It used to be that people were more friendly. Now people have become more inclusive. It used to be that even America was known as a friendly nation. Now it's everybody wants to live in their own corner. Don't bother me. All right? Now, can I tell you this? In church, there ought to be, hey, we sit together, we stand together. Hey, why not just say, my name's Mike, what's yours? Mark. Hey, that's a pretty good name. Mine's in the Bible. Oh, yeah, yours is too. Okay. And be able to hold conversation, be able to talk a little bit. You know, I'm a business owner. What do you do?
I sail boats.
You sail boats or sell boats?
Sail.
You sail boats.
Around the world.
Around the world. See, we could have an interesting conversation there. Okay, thank you. Be seated. All right. And no, we do not believe in lying in church. Okay. There's the gift of love. There's the gift of joy. There's also the gift of peace. The gift of peace. All right. Now, by the way, these are great gifts. These are great things that you can open up at Christmas and say, hey, I want more of that. I want more of that. I want to be able to take this gift that God himself gave me at the point of salvation. And I want to open that up this year, and I want to use that gift more this year than I used it last year. All right, the gift of peace. By the way, that's the opposite of unrest. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So God says, I have a peace that can help to rule your heart. Unstable, things bothering you, tense during the Christmas time, the lines are getting on your nerves, you're tired of the Dallas metro traffic. Here's what God says, keep your mind stayed on me, and I can give you a peace that will rule your heart. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. All right, so what do I want to do? Okay, at Christmas time, boy, here's a gift I would like to have. Open that gift up. Wow, it's the gift of love. I'd like to be able to get more of that. God, I'd like to love you more, like to love people more. God, here's another gift that you gave me. I want to open it up. I want to root down deep inside. My parents, you know, they used to do this. It was so funny. At least they thought it was funny. I remember one time we received a dryer box. A dryer box. Thought, man, what in the world? And, you know, and they put bricks in the bottom of it. Because we would sneak out Christmas Eve. We'd pick the boxes up, shake them, listen to them. You know, trying to guess what was in them. They knew that. So they put bricks in the bottom of the dryer box. You couldn't pick it up. It was so heavy. We thought, man, it's going to be a big gift. They wrapped the dryer box. Inside the dryer box, however, was another box. a smaller box. Inside that box was a smaller box. It must have took them at least a year to do what they did. But each one of them was wrapped. Finally, we get down, there's just a little bitty box. It's like, oh man, we were so disappointed. We thought, man, it's gone from that. I mean, there's the pile of boxes over there. There's the paper. It's gone from that to this. Man, we were so disappointed. We opened it up, and then there was even a smaller box. Thought, what in the world? You know, now we've gone from getting something that is grandeur to this. We opened that little thing up, and there was a note. Go to the garage and see what's for you. And they gave us bicycles that Christmas. Yeah. All right. But you just don't know what's in it until you open it up and examine it. You know, many times here's what we do. We go through turmoils. We go through problems. We go through trials. And we try and handle it all by ourselves. That is not the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is that you keep your mind stayed on Him so that you can have that peace. Let me give you another one. We get this young man to stand right down here, okay? All right? There's the gift of long-suffering. In the Greek, it simply means this. It's two words. Comes from the word slow and thunder. Slow and thunder. In other words, when you're going to have long-sufferings for someone, you're going to be slow to thunder. What's that mean? That means you're going to be slow to cloud up and rain all over them. That means you're going to be slow to anger. That means you're going to be slow to lose your temper. That means you're going to be slow to get mad at someone. That means you're going to be slow to blow up on someone. That means you're not going to let tension rise to the top where the tension controls you more than you controlling the tension. The Bible talks about how you and I ought to be people that are long-suffering. Somebody said this, long-suffering means this. You bear all injuries yourself. You decide to be at a long time before responding. Somebody said this, another definition for long-suffering is simply to be patient. Somebody else said this, long-suffering is somebody that's not easily provoked. Benjamin Franklin said this, after 3 days of spending company with a fish, you'll begin to smell like him. Say, what's that got to do with it? Has a lot to do with it. Here it is. As you spend company with somebody that's always short-tempered, you get short-tempered. Have you ever been to a ball game? Are you listening to me? If you let the environment control you, you let the person control you. You ever been to a ball game and the person that you're sitting beside, they're real quiet and sedate until the ball game gets tense. Then all of a sudden they come out of the shell you never knew they had. Okay? Wait a minute. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen somebody in Dallas traffic? Somebody starts to blow the horn. For you know it, somebody else is blowing the horn. For you know it, it's its own orchestra. Talking about long suffering. Long suffering. One of the worst things you could ever do, wife, is all of a sudden when your husband comes in, he looks tired, he looks wore out, he looks like he has just been through World War III to dump all the problems of your day on his lap as soon as he gets home. No, have some patience. Long suffering. Well, I just don't believe that they ought to do that. Long suffering. I think I'm going to tell them my mind. Long suffering. I'm going to get in their face and tell them what for. Long suffering. By the way, that'd be a good gift to open up during Christmas time. Let me give you another one, okay? Gentleness. Gentleness. That's treating others mildly, not violently. Stand right over here. It's the gentle hand that leads the elephant by the hair. I was over in Bangkok, Thailand. We went out of Bangkok. We went out into the temple area where the elephants are, and you could ride the elephants. I didn't see anybody beating them over the trunk. I didn't see anybody trying to beat them over the head. I didn't see anybody that was riding them that had spurs on that was hitting them in the back of the neck. Here's what I saw them. They would simply come up. They would guide them along. Why? Because those big mammoth beast was used to somebody treating them with a little bit of respect and taking them along. They said years ago, the way they used to train the elephants was when they were little, they would put a harness around their neck, huge chain, couldn't break loose. They got used to only going out this far, had to retreat. Only going out this far, having to retreat. After a while, the elephant got used to only going out this far with nothing around their neck. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there needs to be, if you will, some gentleness. As you rear your children, you have to train them, but hopefully as your child gets a little bit older, you don't have to be, can I say it, as strict, because they walk in the perimeter. They stay within the perimeter. You ever seen somebody, if you will, that has a child that is just out of control? You ever see a teenager blows up on the parents, hollers at the parents, yells at the parents, screams at the parents, disrespects the parents, out of control? Wait a minute, can I tell you, teenagers and children ought to be gentle towards their parents. You're not going to have them forever. Be gentle. The Bible says that a soft word turneth away wrath. All right? So you be that person, if you will, that is gentle towards other people. Here's what I can do. God, I want to be gentle towards you. God, I want you to help me be gentle towards others. I can take it as in order. God, I want to love you more. Help me to get to love more others. God, I want to have more joy in you. Help me to have that joy towards others. God, I want more peace that only you can give so that I can give more peace to others. God, I want more long-suffering towards you. I don't want to be impatient towards you. So, God, I can have more long-suffering towards other people. God, I want to be more gentle towards you so that I can be more gentle towards other people. Let me give you another, and there's goodness. Goodness. Think about it. Here's a husband says to his wife. Wife comes in. He's sitting there. He's watching the flat screen in his living room. And now the wife comes in, if you will, and says, you know, last night, honey, I dreamed a dream. In my dream, you gave me $200 to spend on Christmas. Anything I wanted. Surely you're not going to spoil my dream. He said, well, of course not. Just keep dreaming. Goodness, you'll get that by and by. You'll get that as you're pulling off the parking lot. Goodness, be good. You know, my wife, when she would mention something to me, still happens. She knows I will break my neck to get it for her. Because my love for her is deep. Always been that way. Always increasing. And so I would try to do what I can to be good to my wife. Children's the same way. Both her and I love our children very deeply. And because of that, what happened to the goodness? We don't have a, okay. Even though goodness may look flat in your life, make sure you have it. Amen? All right? I watch this, if you will. And so practicing goodness with other people. Practicing goodness, if you will, for that which is the right way to be with other people. It doesn't matter if they're good to you. You should always be good to other people. You say, well, they mistreated me. Good, you probably need it. Gives you a balance in your life. Helps you to be forgiving. Helps you to love people and forgive people. We're living in a day, and I don't know if you see it or not, but I see it, where it seems like people are more prone to live by their feelings and is being fed by our media than any other day. We're living in a day where teenagers get mad at their parents and express it. And in my day, they would never make it past their teenage years if they did that. But they're just expressive. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Whatever happened to just being good to people? You know, being somebody, if you will, please, that, okay, I'm going to be good to that person, whether they're good to me or not. I'm going to be good to my friends, whether my friends are good to me or not. I'm going to be good to my spouse, whether my spouse is good to me or not. Let me give you another one. I'm almost done. There's goodness. Not only is there goodness, do you have gentleness? It's already out there. Goodness is out there. Hey, okay, let's go. You ready? How about faith? Do you have faith? Have we lost our faith? We got faith. Here it is. Next guy, come up. Here it is. Faith. All right, so God has given, how do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, right here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, and so God gives us the ability to be able to have faith. How do we have faith? We have faith by simply hearing the word of God. I wrote this down, I looked it up in John Wesley's diary. He said on Sunday a.m., May 5th, he said, I preached in St. Anne's. They asked me never to come back. He said, on Sunday p.m., I preached it in St. John's. The deacon stopped me outside and said, get out and stay out. He said, on May 12th, he said, I went someplace else. And he said, I preached in the area of St. Jude's. He said, they came to me and they said, you can never come back here and preach again. On Sunday, May the 19th, he said, I preached in an area as I was finishing up, he said, a group of deacons came up to me and said, we would appreciate it if you never return. He said, on the 19th that night, he said, I thought I'd preach on the street. So I went out and started preaching on the street the 19th, Sunday night. They said, get off the street. You can't preach here. He said, so I went out to the meadow on May the 26th. They can't chase me out of the meadow. It's a meadow. I preached in the meadow. A large group of people set bulls loose on me and chased me out of the meadow. He said on Sunday, the next Sunday, on June the 2nd, he said, I decided I'm going to preach on the edge of town on the highways and byways. They can't stop me from preaching where the Bible says, compel them to come in. He said, but as I preached on the highways and the byways, they threatened to throw me in jail and kicked me out of the highways. He said, so that night, I prayed earnestly all afternoon, and I decided I would go down to a lonely old pasture that nobody knew. I was just going to preach to the trees. I was going to preach to the leaves. Nobody could kick me out of here. And when I started to preach, people started to come. The end count was over 10,000 people that heard me preach that night. Wait a minute, what was that? That was faith. Well, you know, I'm going to church, preacher, and it just doesn't seem like my parents understand. Doesn't seem like my friends understand. You know, I'm going down to a church where they're going to teach the Bible and help me to grow spiritually in my depth with the Lord and help me to be able to reach out to other people. And it just doesn't seem like things are going right. And you just keep exercising your faith and God will bless it. Statement number next, there's meekness. I'm almost done. Here it is. This is number 8. There's only 9. You thought there was 45. What is meekness? Meekness is mild in temper, soft and gentle, not provoking or being irritated, yielding, giving forbearance even under injury. All right? So here is a person that is meek in their spirit. Okay? Here's a person, somebody comes up and smacks them, they refuse to smack back. But they'll walk away in quietness and just say, hope that helped them. Meek in their spirit. They're not going to try to cause somebody else to have injury. This is the type of person, if you will, please, that would take the coat off of their back and say, I'll tell you what, if that'll help you, it's yours. That's the type of person that says, you know what? Saw you had some holes in your shoes. I think I can do something to try and help you there. They're soft. They're gentle. They're not ill-tempered. They're not easily provoked. They're the giver, not the taker. Let me give you one last one and I'm done. I'm saying there's some Christmas presents I like to open. By the way, all of us can open them. There's temperance. Temperance is somebody that holds in. They manage well. It's the baseball. You take the outer rind off of it, take it apart string by string by string, get down to the inner core. What protected the inner core was the lacing, was the outer rind of the baseball. Temperance is what holds things together. When it seems like that everything is out of control, a person that has temperance tries to bring it back into control. All right? So wait a minute. What do? I go to God and say, God, I tell you what, there's some Christmas gifts I would like. God, here's some Christmas gifts. You've already given them to me. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. You've already given it to me. But you know, I'm not opened it yet. I'm not totally researched it yet. I'm not allowing it to work in me and through me yet. So God, give me some love. I'll love you back. I'll love other people. God, give me some joy. I'll express joy back and give joy to other people. God, give me some peace towards you, and I'll express peace towards other people. God, give me some long suffering in my life. Give that to me. I need that. But at the same time, I've got friends that need that. I've got family members that need that. God, give me some gentleness in my life towards you. I want to be gentle towards you. You're the creator God. I don't want to be rude, crude, and socially unacceptable in your sight. I don't want to do that. God, help me to be gentle towards you. And as I'm gentle towards you, teach me how to be gentle towards other people. God, goodness, though it's the littlest, maybe among the all, maybe it's not written out so that everybody can see it. But God, help me to be the one, if you will, that is good towards you. And help me to get that goodness. God, I need faith more than anything that I can think of. I just need some faith in my life. Oh, God, would you help me, God, to be able to have faith in you so that I can help others to have faith? God, would you do it? Would you do it? I need some meekness in my life. I need, if you would please, not to be arrogant, not to be somebody that is overbearing, but God, can you help me, God, please, to have some gentleness in my life so that I can take and be gentle towards you and gentle towards other people. Oh, God, give me some temperance. Help me to be able to hold it in. I've got all these things now. I've got all these things. And as I take love and I build upon love, God, as I take that which is joy, and I build upon the joy. God, as I take that which is long-suffering, I take that which is gentleness, and I take that which is goodness, and I take that which is faith, and I take that which is meekness. God, help me to put it all in that little baseball. Help me to take that temperance, if you will. Keep it all in good order. Help me to be able to control it. Help me to put my faith in the right direction. Help me to put my love in the right direction. Help me to have long suffering in the right direction. Isn't it something that he named temperance the very last thing? Because see, temperance is what keeps it all together. And as we have that temperance and it's kept all together, we'll be able to accomplish more. 1924, there was two climbers that went on an expedition. They were proud and they were bold. They said, we're gonna conquer Mount Everest. That gigantic mountain, we're gonna conquer Mount Everest. They came back, they miserably failed. They stood in the middle of Congress there in London. One man began to cry. He said, Everest! He said, we tried to conquer you once. We were overpowered. We tried to conquer you a second time. It was just too much. He said, but Everest, you know this, that one day we're going to conquer you. One day we're going to grow so big that we can climb you, because you can't grow any bigger. You're as big as you'll ever get. They say, according to that which is the measurements given by China and by Nepal, that Mount Everest is 29,029 feet. Since those guys miserably, so they said, failed, there has been others. Matter of fact, there's been over 4,000 people to this day that has successfully climbed Mount Everest. The first two that successfully did it was in 1953, Sir Elmud Hillary. And there was another one by the name of Sherpa. By the way, that's where you get the Sherpa climbers from, because that family goes all the way back to the very first one that successfully climbed the mount. And so now the ones that climb up the side of Mount Everest is always called the Sherpa climbers, because they have a Sherpa guide that guides them up the side of the mountain. Wait a minute, I want to show you something. The way to be able to overtake your mountains, the way to be able to overtake your difficulty, the way to be able to do, you've already got the ability in you to be able to overcome as you reach down into the gifts that God has given you and say, God, help me with this. Because if you help me with this, I'll be able to overcome that. And you keep it all in by temperance. And you say, God, use this in my life. Help me. And by the way, maybe you need to be the one this morning that cries out and says, God, I need more long-suffering. And if you give me more long-suffering, God, here's what I do. I'll give it to others. God, I need more joy. And if you'll give me more joy, I'll be joyful in other people's life. God, if you would just give me more love, God, give me more love to be able to disperse away. It's almost like that person that becomes somebody that just gives, or that gets it to give. You get it to give it. You get it to give it. God gives you so that you can be that vessel, that vehicle of getting it out. And God wants to use that. There's some gifts, I think, that you and I ought to open for Christmas time. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.